In response to the proclamation of God's word, let us sing together Psalm 133. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, how well do you think that people in society honor one another? And by honoring one another, I mean that they consider one another to be important. You don't look down in contempt on other people. You look up to them. How well do you think people in our society love one another? And loving one another is always seeking the best for the other. How loyal are people to one another? How well do people submit to one another? Especially when they are corrected by others. And how patient are people in society with each other's failings. But we should draw the circle a little closer and ask this about ourselves. How well do you honor people whom the Lord places on your path? How well do you love others in the congregation and outside? How loyal are you and I anyway to other people? Or do we just drop them just like that? How submissive are we to others, especially when they have some constructive criticism to offer us? And how patient are we really with one another's failings? Would you like society to learn to honor and love and be loyal to others more? And would you like to learn to be submissive and patient with others more? If so, then the secret lies in obedience to the fifth commandment. If we learn to honor our parents, even if they have died, we honor them in our memory. If we learn to honor our parents, love them, be loyal to them, submit to them when they correct us or even punish us, if we learn to be patient with the failings of our parents, even in your memory, if they've passed on to glory, that'll reap big dividends for society. If we learn it there, in the home, we will probably learn it elsewhere as well. Moreover, God gives us the promise that it will go well with us. That's beautiful. You'll have a good life. And God even promises that we will live long on the earth. Now, isn't that amazing? I said that I was going to approach the fifth commandment through the verses 1 to 3 of Ephesians 6. And Paul begins his instruction there by telling children to obey their parents in the Lord. That's a wonderful expression, in the Lord. That's like, obey your parents in Christ. That reminds the children immediately of their most fundamental identity as members of the covenant of grace, as members of the church. When they hear this, obey your parents in the Lord, they are immediately reminded that they are in Christ. That the Lord Jesus Christ lived a substitutionary life for the church. And that the Lord Jesus Christ died a substitutionary death for the church. That the Lord Jesus Christ, as a result, is the head of the church, and that the church is the body. And that as children of the body, they are in Christ, because the church is in Christ. So everything that the children do has to be done in the Lord. Just as my head governs my fingers and my hands and my speech, so Jesus Christ, as the head of the church, wants to govern the members of his body. He wants to give them grace upon grace so that they are able to fulfill the fifth commandment. They don't have to do it in their own strength. They do it in the Lord. So when we look at the fifth commandment, Lord's Day 39, we should never forget that Lord's Day 1 preceded Lord's Day 39. And in Lord's Day 1, the whole church confesses that we are not our own, but we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, who paid for all the sins of the church with his precious blood and has freed the members of the church from the constricting, dominating power of sin. That's the church's identity. And that has bearing on Lord's Day 39. And again, when we get to Lord's Day 39, and especially children, and we've all been children at one time, we remember our parents even in our memories. We should also not forget what was said when we were baptized. The minister, he poured water on our heads, and the form was read before that happened, and he said, when you are baptized into the name of the Son, God the Son washes you from all of your sins, and he unites you with him in his death and resurrection. That's who we are as members of the church. We've been cleansed. We've been washed. We have died with Christ, and we have arisen with Christ. To use the imagery of John 15, Christ is the vine. And we, as members of the church, we are branches on the vine, connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. And now the Apostle Paul, when he exhorts the Ephesians, especially the children there in Ephesus, to obey their parents in the Lord, he says, I now want you to take ownership for that identity that you have. I want you to believe that. I want you to completely entrust yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for you, symbolized in your baptism. And when you do, something amazing is going to happen to you. What Christ did for you as members of the church, he now begins to do in you with his Holy Spirit. What the Apostle Paul says in Galatians 2, verse 20, it is no longer I who live, but Christ Jesus who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who gave himself for me. That becomes true for you. When you take ownership of your identity in Christ through faith in the power of the Holy Spirit. What the Apostle Paul writes elsewhere to the Ephesians, that we were created to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do, that we might walk in them, becomes a reality in your life and in my life. And that has wonderful consequences for the fifth commandment. Because then, all of a sudden, we find ourselves obeying our parents in the Lord. Amazingly, we begin to notice in ourselves that we actually honor our parents. We don't look down in contempt upon them. We begin to love our parents. We begin to be loyal to them. Why, even when they correct us or punish us, we find ourselves actually willing and able to be submissive to them. And when it comes to their failings, the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ creates in us such a gentle and patient heart that we actually find ourselves becoming increasingly patient with the failings of our parents. And then we begin to notice something even more miraculous. Then we find what we're learning in the home, in Christ, through the Spirit of Christ. What Christ has done for us is now becoming a reality in us through the power of the Holy Spirit. We find that that has ripple effects in other areas of life. If we're married, we find ourselves being able to honor our spouse. We find the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ creating in us a real sense of love for our wife or our husband. Always willing to seek the best for him or her. We find ourselves being loyal, submissive, patient, and not only in the marriage realm, which preceded in Ephesians 5 and 6, it preceded the commandment to obey the parents. We also find that happening in the work realm that came after the command to obey parents. All of a sudden, we find ourselves being able to have a high view of our employer, to even love him, to be loyal to him. or her, and submissive when we are corrected or even punished. And we find this happening in the church as well, because Lord's Day 39 speaks about submitting to all whom God has placed in authority over us. We find ourselves being able to do this to office bearers whom God has placed in authority over us. We no longer begin to think, oh, that's just John so-and-so coming over and, you know, he doesn't know much or this or that, you know. We actually begin to honor the office bearer. Consider this man to be important in our lives. We begin to love the office bearer, seek the best for him, loyal to him. And when they correct us with the word of God or discipline us with the keys of the kingdom, we find ourselves miraculously becoming submissive to their good instruction, because we truly realize that it is God's will to rule us through their hand. And the office bearers aren't perfect. They have their failings. But we find ourselves becoming so patient with their failings. And why do you think that is? Why do you think there is that connection between the fifth commandment, strictly speaking, honoring your parents, and if we learn it there, it has ripple effects, positive ripple effects in all other realms of life? Why do you think that is? Because the Apostle Paul says to the Ephesians, this, and he refers to the fifth commandment, this is a first commandment with a promise. Not the first commandment with a promise. That would be a mistake. The second commandment already had a promise. And showing mercy to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. The fifth commandment is not the first commandment with a promise. It's the second commandment with a promise. But more important, the little word the is not even there in the Greek. It's just smuggled in most translations. The first commandment is, or the fifth commandment is a first commandment. That's what it says. Now that doesn't mean that the fifth commandment is more important than the other commandments, because all commandments are important. When Paul calls the fifth commandment a first commandment, he is taking over a Jewish way of looking at the commandments. And the Jews tended to look at certain commandments as core commandments, as summary commandments, out of which all sorts of other commandments also flowed. Some of the Jewish leaders once came to Jesus and they said, which is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself. Doesn't mean that this greatest commandment is more important than the first or the tenth. It just means it's a core commandment, a summary commandment. We even say that after we read the law, that these commandments are summed up. Love the Lord and love your neighbor. And so then the Ten Commandments are, as it were, commandments that come right out of the core commandment of loving God and loving your neighbor. That makes the Ten Commandments, as it were, a sort of a diamond that you can kind of turn this way and that way and that way. And then you have 10, if you turn it 10 times, and there's 10 sides to the diamond, let's say, there are 10 different facets of love, 4 for loving God, and 6 for loving your neighbor. Because love is a core commandment. Love is a first commandment. And the 5th commandment is very similar. It's a core commandment as well. A summary commandment, out of which all sorts of other commandments flow. The 5th commandment is also, as it were, like a diamond. And you can turn the 5th commandment and say, yes, it shows me how to be faithful not only to my parents, but also to my spouse, my employer, my office bearers. Shows me how to be patient to them. You turn the diamond. Shows me how to be loyal to them. You turn the diamond again. Shows me how to be submissive to them. Wonderful. This means, brothers and sisters, that in the light of the 5th commandment being a first commandment, that our homes become training centers for learning how to honor others, how to love others, how to be loyal to others, how to be submissive to others, how to be patient with others. And now we understand why the promise is that it will go well with you. Because if you learn this in the home, you'll learn it elsewhere as well. And then things will go well with you relationally. If you've learned how to honor your parents, things will go well, by God's grace, in your marriage. Things will go well in the church. Things will go well in the workplace. Why, things, by God's grace, may even begin to go well where your life intersects the lives of other people in society. Things may begin to go well in society as well. You know why this is so important? To see this, to understand this, and to learn it in the home so that we learn it elsewhere? Why do you think this was so important for the people of Israel? Why did God actually liberate the people of Israel out of Egypt? I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Why did he do that? Why was he bringing them to the promised land, the land of Canaan? Because the land of Canaan was going to be another paradise, a second paradise. The people in the land of Canaan were going to show the nations round about Canaan just how good life really was and is when it is lived in loving the Lord and loving your neighbor, when it is lived in obeying and honoring your parents. That's precisely why they went to the land of Canaan, at the center of the earth, as it were. Trade routes from the north, trade routes from the east, and trade routes from the south, they all converged upon that little piece of land in Israel. Because God wanted Israel to be a light to the nations. He wanted Israel to be the salt of the earth. He wanted Israel to raise up signs of hope in a world in which people did not love God, did not love their neighbor, did not honor their parents the way they ought, were not loyal to them, were not patient with the failings of others. But Israel was going to be different. Israel was God's servant for the world. The missional intent of the people of God. Why do you think it is so important for the church today? Why do we confess that our only comfort is that I'm not my own, but I belong to Jesus in life and in death with body and soul? Why did the Lord Jesus Christ ransom us from the power of the devil? Why did he shed his precious blood for the church today? Why is it so important that I understand my baptism? That when I was baptized into the name of the Son, I was washed. It symbolized my washing with the blood of Christ. It symbolized my being engrafted into Jesus' death and resurrection. Why is that so important? For the same reason as it was important for the people of Israel. We no longer live in a little piece of land right at the center of the earth with all the trade routes converging on that. We're just scattered among the nations. But the purpose is still the same. The church today is still the light of the world. Still today, the salt of the earth. We're still called today as a church of God to erect signs of hope that a different way of living is possible. You don't have to look down in contempt upon other people. You don't have to be angry and hate them. You don't have to betray other people. You don't have to become so impatient with other people. There's a different way of living possible. And that is when you claim your identity in Christ Jesus through faith. Take ownership of it so that what Christ has done for you, he does in you. Is that your experience when it concerns the fifth commandment? I asked it at the beginning already. I don't want to go through the whole list again. But how well do you honor your parents? And again, that includes all of us. My parents have passed on. But I can remember them in my memory. How well do I do that in honoring them? Loving them. Even in my memory, being patient with their failings? Or do I still feel the impatience come up when I think of the failings? And have you noticed, brothers and sisters, that the fifth commandment is a first commandment? A core commandment? Have you noticed that because you have learned honor and obedience in the home, you have learned honor and obedience outside the home? Or is it not going very well? Do you perhaps feel contempt for others? Do you perhaps feel anger and hate in some of your relationships? Do you find yourselves being disloyal and impatient in some of your relationships? Jesus asks you this afternoon, could it perhaps be that you've never learned it in the home. And if only you and I would have learned it in the home, maybe things would go much better with us in other spheres of life. Would you like to learn? Then Jesus says, come to me in faith. Learn what the Apostle Paul said. It is no longer I who live, but Christ Jesus who lives in me. Then the Spirit of Christ will form the obedience to the fifth commandment in your life and in my life. Remember little Jesus in the temple? Remember how his parents failed, didn't understand him? Remember how Jesus honored his parents, loved his parents, was submissive to his parents? Remember how patient he was with their failings? Do you know why he did that? Not just because the Father wanted him to do that. He did that for you. He did it for me. He didn't just die a substitutionary death. He also lived a substitutionary life. When it comes to all of these Ten Commandments, you should never leave the church thinking, yeah, now I got to work harder. I got to try harder. You should never leave the church that way. You should always think of the Lord Jesus Christ, who kept each one of the Ten Commandments for you. And he wants you to live by faith and experience the mystery of living in union with him. Amen.